For sure. Judges chapter number 15 tonight. Judges chapter number 15. We're going to continue on in our series through the book of Judges. Been spending a few weeks already looking at this character, Samson, and we still have a few more weeks in the life of Samson. And I think what I'm praying is, at least the way the Lord's directing, is that we can learn sometimes what we're not supposed to do. And the lesson tonight is going to be about something that is probably not something you say, well, that's not really a problem of mine, but it can be. And the title of tonight's message is, Does Getting Revenge Really Help? Does getting revenge really help? In Judges chapter number 15, you're going to see Samson here. You're going to see that one of the lessons we can learn from Samson is not to let bitterness get into our heart and into our lives and cause us to try to get even. Anybody ever try to get even? You know, getting even seems like it can be fun, but always is a bittersweet type thing. It might last sweetness for a little while, but in the end, it turns out to be very bitter. We go to camp every year with our young people. At least I don't go every year, but one of the rules we have is we don't do pranks. I know everybody thinks camp, you're supposed to do pranks. You got to pull this trick on somebody or another just to have some fun. I've learned something over the years. What pranks do, they cause people want to get even. One person does a prank on somebody and they retaliate by doing a prank to someone else. And then every time it seems like the prank grows and grows and grows. So you know what happens in the end? Someone gets their feelings hurt. Someone gets upset. Someone gets mad. Someone does something that's pretty bad, and just to get even. And in this story, you're going to see here that Samson was wrong. We saw last week how, remember how he's gambling with his life and gambling with his opportunities that God had given him, and that he made that wager with the Philistines, and the Philistines threatened his wife or his future wife and said, you know, you find out what the answer to this riddle is, or we're going to kill you and kill your father and burn down the whole house. And then we remember last week how we talked about how the wife just sat there and laid upon him and cried upon him and every meal, everywhere for 7 days straight, just gets whining and whining and whining. And then he finally gave in. And then they told him the riddle. He gets mad and gets upset. So how does he get even? He goes down there and he kills 30 men and he makes 30 garments of changes. So you see, it continues on to just build and build. Let's remind ourselves that Samson had a great life plan for him in God's will. God's will was going to let Samson be able to deliver the Philistines, but he chooses to do things his own way instead according to God's will. Samson rejects God's plan for his life. He does his own thing. And we say, oh, what's really that? Is that really that big of a deal? And we're going to see this story, how his sin just continually takes him down a pathway that ends up being horrible. God has something great planned for him, but look at what sin does to him. There's a downward spiral here, and we're going to look at the verses 1 through 8. And in this thought here, we're going to look at some things when it talks about, does getting revenge really help? Before we get into the Bible, I was doing reading and research to try to figure out illustrations about people who try to get revenge. And there are so many different sad, sad stories. I read one story where it talked about a man 40 years later did something to a principal and three school board members. 40 years later did something. Why did they get mad at him? Because he had a bad review on he was a teacher and he had a bad review. 40 years later, he puts nails inside in the driveways and marks up people's houses. 40 years, they held that grudge. Also, you think about it, for 15 years, the man wanted to get into grad school, and he could not get in grad school because one of his professors did not give him the rating or the review. And you know what he did for 15 years? For every night, on average, called his professor between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., 10 times a night, just trying to get even. And that made about 50,000 phone calls. If I was the professor, I would have changed my phone number, but I don't know. But maybe he did. But it's just amazing what people think getting even is going to help them. And the truth of the matter is, getting even never truly helps. And the Bible gives us a different response. The Bible does. It tells us how we should respond to those. And it tells us how we, in the New Testament, Jesus teaches us about loving our enemies. Jesus teaches us about forgiving. Jesus teaches us about things such as that. And we got to be careful as believers that we try to be Christ-like. And so we're going to talk tonight about, does getting revenge really help? Does getting even really help? make any difference. Let's look here. We're going to read the story in Judges chapter 15. I'm going to dive into this story a little bit, and we're going to look at this and try to help that understand that we need to leave things in God's hands according to the word of God. Judges chapter 15, verse number 1, but it came to pass within a while after. So where are we at? You see here, Samson has left his wife and gone home to his mother or gone home to his family. So he kind of left her at the altar in a sense. In the time of wheat harvest, so they give us an idea of what time of year it was, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. So he wants to go make amends. So he brings her a goat. You might be like, that doesn't sound like a good... Well, back then, that would have been a very nice gift. That would have been something that would have been considered a delicacy if they were going to eat it. And he said, I will go into my wife. And he's thinking, okay, yes, I left her at the altar. Yes, I killed 30 Philistines. But now after all this time, I can go back with this gift and everything's going to be okay. We got to remember our sin sometimes blinds us into realizing, hey, what they did was wrong. I did nothing wrong. I can act whatever way I want. But that's what he's thinking. They're going to let me back in. He says, I will go into my wife into the chamber, but her father would not suffer him to go in. Verse number 2, and her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to thy companion. Now, Samson is not going to like that. But look at this next response. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. So this man is willing to just switch them out. And that's what marriage is for them. They can switch from one person to another. Not a problem. You know, we look back in Judges chapter 14, what enticed Samson was her beauty. It was not her character, it was her beauty. And he's saying, look, the younger sister's prettier anyway. Why don't you just take her? Everything will be good. Everything will be happy. Well, remember that if there is a dowry that's normally giving during Bible time, so that this man doesn't want to give that back. And so Samson here in verse number 3 is not happy and says, and Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. He says, okay, they did me wrong. I am still going to be blameless because what I'm going to do is not as bad as what they did. And they begin to justify, and he began to justify in his mind, as long as I'm not doing as bad as them, it's okay for me to do this. So what does Samson do? He kind of, in a sense, pulls a prank, but you'll see here. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes. You say, how in the world would he catch 300 foxes? Well, back then there was a fox-like animal, similar to a jackal, that would roam around in great numbers and packs. And that's probably the type of animal here. Look what he does with them. And it took firebrands and turned tail to tail. So either he used some type of rope and connected a firebrand to the tails and tied the foxes together. And he put the firebrand in the midst between the two tails. So you can imagine these foxes already in captivity, having something being pulled together would be anxious to go. And when he had set the brands on fire, and now you see there's a fire there going on, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines. Now this word corn here, we would think of our corn here, but back in the Jewish culture, when they use that word corn, it's referring to wheat of the Philistines. And it burned up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. So it destroys it. You say, well, is it that big of a deal? You go to verse number 1, what time is it? It's the wheat harvest. This would be devastating for this nation. Verse number 6, then the Philistines said, who have done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Tenite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. So the Philistines find out who does it and say, okay, the Philistines are like, let's go get even with Samson. Well, they don't do that. They're probably a little bit afraid of Samson because of Samson going and killing the 30 men. Instead, what they do, it says, and the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with her fire. So it burns his fiance, his old fiance, and their father. Verse number 7, Samson responds. And Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. So he says, okay, you did this. He didn't like the fact that he took his wife and then burned his father-in-law. And he says, okay, I'm going to do something else now. I'm going to get even. I have to do something bigger and better. And it says in verse number 8, and he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. What that refers to, he pretty much utterly destroyed them. You know, he is a warrior, and he destroys them, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock, Edom. So we see here in the story verses, and that, those are all the verses we're going to look at, verses 1 through 8. Samson gets in there. Samson is upset. He gets his heart back. He says, I want to go visit my wife. He finds out that he's not going to be married to that woman. She's been given to another. He gets angry. He retaliates to the Philistines because he's blaming the Philistines. And he goes and he ties the foxes up. They destroy the crops. The Philistines come back and they attack his, what was supposed to be his wife and his father-in-law. He gets upset about that. And then he retaliates too. You see, this is a never-ending cycle. When revenge comes around, what's going to happen is over and over, you're never going to be completely satisfied. You're always going to want to keep on getting even. And in the end, something horrible is going to happen. You see here what happens in verse number 8, there's a great slaughter. Just like when it came with the riddle. You know, he was devious in making a riddle no one can answer. And then then the 30 men do something wrong. And then he goes and he does something wrong. It goes back and forth. Getting revenge really never settles anything. So I want you to look at your life right now and check your heart and see what type of bitterness or what type of revenge you might be trying to get. So let's look at three things tonight. First thing I want you to think about is Samson's return. Samson's return is found in verses 1 and 2. He tries to return to his wife. His plan was that he could go in and he could just make his wife happy by giving her a goat. Everything was going to be good. Everything was going to be fine because he was going to give her this special animal. And you see, the problem was, the father-in-law said, I don't think so. You can't go in there now because I've given her to another. I thought you hated her. And then there's that proposal. The father must have believed that Samson really didn't love his daughter, which we don't see how he could have at the beginning, at least. And you see how he's willing to change and switch. And there's some lessons that we can learn here in this story. Why is Samson in this trouble? He's in a place where he does not supposed to be. He's trying to marry a woman he's not supposed to marry. He's in the Philistine area, and he's mixing with the wrong company. As he's mixing with the wrong company, you know what's going to happen? You're going to do the wrong things. The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So Samson is here and has surrounded himself with the wrong people, and he's been headed down this pathway, and now he's been taken advantage of by, he feels like, the 30 men. And then he feels like he's been taken advantage of by the father-in-law. And now he feels like he's been taken advantage of by those men who killed his supposed-to-be father-in-law. You see how this is going? Samson does not take any type of responsibility. He just goes and does what he wants because he cares more about his feelings than God's word. And sin upon sin upon sin upon sin, and we see he's headed down this path. This is why the Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's why the Bible tells us to be very careful who our company is. That's why the Bible encourages us to be around fellow believers and church people that you know and love, that love the Lord. He said, well, I can handle it. See, Samson thought he could handle it until he saw this girl. And then he goes and wants to do something that's wrong, even though his father says, no, we got to be careful of the company we take and the company we keep. The Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That we as believers should provoke each other unto love. We should provoke each other unto good works. We should be encouraging people. And Samson is not around people like that. Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Samson's in the wrong spot. He's around the wrong people. No one's there encouraging. No one's there saying, hey, Samson, you did wrong. You should not have left your wife at the altar. You should, if you really cared about her, if you really loved her, you would have stayed and worked through this. He didn't care about that. He wanted what he wanted. Second thing I want you to see, not only is it Samson's return, look at Samson's revenge. Verses 3 through 6, we've read through it. He doesn't take his defeat like a man. He doesn't look at where he could have done something wrong, gone and regrouped. He does not seek God's will for his life. Samson plans to get even. The only problem is getting even is never really truly possible. See, when revenge happens, it always escalates and escalates to being out of control. He's about ready to learn the truth that violence always begets violence. And as violence begets violence, it ends up being a devastation. He doesn't consider what he has done wrong, but instead, what is his motivation? He's motivated with anger. I remember the stories about getting even. I thought one of the cute stories was there was this guy out there, and he takes people's luggages in at the airport. This one man gets out of the car. This guy unloads the luggage, and this guy yells at the guy doing the luggage for at least 2 minutes. Guess gives him a hard time. Make sure this stuff, and just berates him over and over. Other people are just sitting there watching. The man just sat there and said, "Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir." And the guy goes into the airport. The lady comes up to the guy and says, "How can you let that guy treat you like that?" He said, "Because that guy is going to Texas, but his luggage is going to Canada." He thinks getting even is going to help him. Getting even doesn't help anything. The motivation that happens here is, you see, look at Samson's language in verse number 3. He says, "Now shall I be more blameless." What is he doing? He is justifying his actions. He's claiming they had done him worse. He has a right to get even. See, Samson's motivation attacking the Philistines is all wrong. He says, "Though I do them a displeasure," he says, "I know I'm doing something wrong, but it's okay." And you know what? That's the way we think. That's how we feel. Getting even is something we all desire. I read a message like this, and I read the passages of scriptures we're going to read towards the end of the message. It tells us about being kind. It tells us about forgiving. It tells us about loving our enemies. And it says it more than in one spot. And I don't like those passages. I would much rather be the guy that's sending the luggage to Canada because somebody treated me wrong. But that's not what Christ wants. Samson here has been called of God to deliver the Philistines, and that's why God allows the Spirit of God to come on him at times and destroy some of the Philistines. But it's not because of Samson's sin. He should have been attacking them because it was God's plan for his life. This is what God wanted him to do, but no, his motivation is all wrong. He's attacking the Philistines because of the fact he wants to justify himself. And doing this evil, he feels like he can justify himself. But wickedness loves to justify itself, and it can develop some crafty and clever arguments to defend their wicked conduct. You ever been someplace when somebody, they really truly believe what they're doing is okay? "Well, I've done this because you did this," and they've convinced themselves. And is there something in our mind that we're trying to convince ourselves of? The problem is, we will never convince God of it. We'll never convince God it's okay for me to act in an evil manner because of the way I was treated. And that's what Samson has to learn. This is why we should examine our own motives. Why do we serve the Lord? Why do we go to church? Why do we read the Bible? His motives here was, "Hey, I want to get even with them, so it's okay because of the fact they did me a displeasure. They did me wrong. I can go back." And it goes back to our heart of the matter. Samson could have had the opportunity to destroy and defeat the Philistines, got them all out of Israel. God would have allowed him to do that. But because of his sin, he only began to deliver them. We see first his motivation, secondly, his methods. He's determined. He goes and he does a unique thing with these foxes. I don't know how that ever came about. I don't know if it's something they've done before in the past or not. But he does that with the foxes. He burns the wheat harvest. And it's something that is a very, very precious thing to them. The problem is there's a miscalculation. Samson, in his revenge, thinks everything's going to be over. It's sort of like the teenagers with those pranks at camp. "Just because you did one thing to me, I'm going to go ahead and do it one thing. It's going to be one thing to one thing. We're going to be even. Nobody else is going to do any pranks." That's just not the truth. When one person does something, another person reacts. That person thinks that they got the better of them, so I got to do something else. Samson is, in his mind, is thinking, "Okay, if I do this, I get my revenge. Everything's going to be hunky-dory, and there's not going to be any problems." That's just not true. It's not going to get any better. It's not going to help things. Samson, in his revenge, thinks it will end the whole matter, but it does not. The Philistines are upset by the loss of their crops, their loss of their olives, their loss of their vineyards. They see who's done this, and being wicked and selfish men, they instantly fill with the thoughts of vengeance. It is never God's will for us to seek revenge against those that hurt us. Most of the people think defend their honor. And I understand what they're saying there. But where do we see that in Scripture? If they are attacked, they think that shows weakness if you show kindness. Now, what about Jesus? Was he a weak man? Jesus could have called 10,000 angels, but he allowed it. Samson thought this way: most people are quick to rise up against those who attack him. When we are attacked, are we supposed to react in attacking? Are we, when Samson here does this, he thinks his father-in-law has done him wrong. Samson reacts and does something wrong too. What is he doing? He's being just like his father-in-law. When someone gossips about us, when we turn around and we start gossiping about them, what are we becoming? We're becoming just like the person that made us angry. And when we retaliate, when we get even, we are lowering ourselves. We're taking ourselves out of God's will and lowering ourselves to act like the people who hurt us to begin with. That's why in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says something like, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's not easy to do, but that's showing the love of Christ. The Bible says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He gives us that example, and I hate it when he reminds us that, you've done all this to me, but I forgave you. How come you can't forgive someone for me? Revenge will always tarnish our testimony. It reveals the love and reveals that the love of Christ is not a powerful thing in our lives. Those who attack others do not love them. They're walking in hatred. To do so reveals the pride of their hearts. Those who attack us think that they're right and everyone else is wrong. Guess what Samson says? I'm right here. He's the one that shouldn't have done what he did. He shouldn't have even left his wife. They're walking in their pride. When we attack them back, we're no better than they are. Today I had a problem. I was dealing with a couple, and I was texting a lady, and they're she's a little bit upset with me. People do get upset with me. I don't know why, but sometimes people get upset with me. And it was a situation that really is out of my control. And the husband gets on the other, and he texts me. And so now I got two people texting me. And then he texted me and he said, he wrote out, I think he's being sarcastic, what would Jesus do? And to be honest with you, I think those individuals were the ones that were in the, they're not part of our church. They're a whole different situation. Those individuals are wrong. And my text, and I started typing, it was, well, Jesus would have never done this, and Jesus would have never done this, and Jesus would have never done this, this, and this. And that's why we're in the problem we're in now. I wanted to respond that way, but that would have been fleshly. And I think part of the reason why God had me write this message is because, or it was leading to this message, was like, are you going to respond the way Christ would? Is that really going to help anything? Because sometimes people are looking for a way to get even. They're looking for you to say something so they can jump on what you said and throw it up in your face later on. You're not acting Christ-like. You're not acting like a preacher or a pastor or a Christian should. You said this and you said that. And so I started to delete the message that I moved that little X thing back and took off the few words I'd already written and responded, and I want to do what Jesus wants us to do. Let's keep on praying about this. And but my flesh said, man, let them have it. They're the ones in the wrong. You get even. You say these things. It's okay. They said these things to you and about you without even listening or being patient or kind. And I said, and as I was writing and reading and studying this, the Lord was like, see, it doesn't help to get even. Third thing I want you to see is Samson's rampage. He returns. It doesn't go his way. Then he retaliates, but now he's on a rampage. It's not just tying some foxes together. He feels like since they killed my wife and killed my father-in-law, which those are the ones that rejected him, he got mad at them. Now I'm going to go kill all of them. And that's what he does. His retaliation. He says he smote them. If you look in verse number 8, smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. This refers to a total and absolute slaughter. Samson killed them all. He did not stop until this group was dead that tried to avenge him. The ultimate revenge against his enemies. He took their lives. You know, sometimes that's what the world wants us to do. And we say, I don't blame them one bit. That's what they should get. They get what they deserve. But the Bible says, vengeance of mine, saith the Lord. I can't say that. I've always responded the right way when someone's attacked me. I've tried. And it really doesn't bother me too much when somebody says something about me. I try my best. I'm not saying, oh, look at me, I'm holy. It just, I got a lower self-opinion of myself than you guys have. So you can say what you want, and I'll just leave it up to the Lord. But when you start attacking our family or people that you love, sometimes you want to become defensive. The world has this mentality, you know, attack, they deserve it. You know, I don't blame them one bit for what they did. We can understand it. But if they're Christians, that's not the way we're supposed to act. The world's mentality is one, get back at them. Another story. And once again, with this revenge thing, there's a lot of different little illustrations. A lady was sick, so she went to the doctor. He examined her and did a number of tests on her and came back with the good news. He says, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but I'm afraid you have contracted rabies. The doctor left the room for a minute, and when he returned, the woman was busy writing a piece of paper. He asked, what are you doing? Are you writing your will? She said, no, I'm making a list of all the people that I'm going to bite. See, that's how some people, they get mad. They get mad and they get angry and their retaliation mode kicks in. And it's not their fault, but that's the only way that they can get even. But let's go back to his reasons. Samson's reasons for seeking revenge are purely selfish. Look what it says in verse number 7. Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you. After this, I will cease. He says, okay, I get to do one last thing and nobody else gets to say anything else. Doesn't work that way. You know what happens in verse number 9 next week? The Philistines are coming after him. You know what's going to happen in verse number 9 next week? He's going to kill 1,000 of them. It doesn't end. When it ends is when one person says, I want to be like Christ, and I'm going to try to let my example and lead things in God's hands. His reasons. His main problem with revenge is it has nothing to do with the Lord. It's all about us. And when he says, I will cease, that will never happen. Sin will get continued to accumulate and accumulate and accumulate. Instead of taking matters into his own hands, we are supposed to leave them in God's hands. And he does not mention the injustices of the Philistines toward the people of God. He doesn't mention that God had called him to do these things. He says, I want to do this to justify myself. So we're going to look at a couple scriptures now. Let's take our Bibles and look at some different things because this doesn't make sense to our flesh. In our flesh, we say we should get even. In our flesh, if someone did this to us, we should respond. But let's see what the scripture says. Let's look in Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12, if you want to take your Bibles and look at it. In Romans chapter number 12, verses 17 through 21 is enlightening when it comes to this. It says, because of the fact that it seems so odd to our conscience and it seems so odd to our flesh how someone could respond this way, it's good that it's written in the Bible. And not only is it good that it's written in the Bible, it's also good that it's written multiple times in the Bible so we can read it. Because if it was only written once, we'd probably justify it and say, well, that's not really the way it wants. It only said it once. If God wanted to say it again, he would say it again. But there's a number of times here in scriptures. Look what it says in Romans chapter 12. Look what it says in verse 17. It says, Romans chapter 12, verse 17, recompense no man evil for evil. This right there says, do not pay people back evil just because they've done you evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. It means you be honest, you be right. If it be possible, as much life in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I like to use that verse and say that some people are hard to live with. Some people it's impossible to live peaceably with, but I am supposed to do my best, not just fleshly best, my God-given best, Holy Spirit-driven best, to live peaceably with other men. 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So this is the principle here. Instead of taking matters into your own hands, we are to leave them in his hands. Verse number 21, actually verse number 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. So if in this particular spot, if Samson was there and Samson went back and his father-in-law said, hey, we gave her to your companion. That's what you're supposed to do. We didn't think you were coming back. You know, you left her at the altar. He brings this nice present. If he was going to do this, what he would have done is give her the kid or give him the kid and says, you know what? Can you give this to her? I'm sorry for what I did. That's not what he does. And they're saying that we're actually supposed to treat them kindly because it says here, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. It says in verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So I think what it's saying there is that, you know, with this avenging factor and wanting to overcome, you know, the evil that's in us, the flesh that's in us, don't let that overcome us. Don't let that tarnish your testimony. Don't let that response that the world's saying it's okay, it's legally okay for you to react that way. Let's look what the Bible says instead and live that way. Okay, so let's look at something else. Go ahead and take your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 5. As I said, it's written more than once, and I'm thankful it's written more than once because it helps us see this. Matthew chapter number 5, let's look in verse number 44. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 44, the Bible says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Man, I read those verses and I'm like, Lord, how in the world am I supposed to love my enemies? How am I supposed to bless them that curse you? How am I supposed to do good to them that hate you? And you see this in the scriptures. This is a far cry of saying, hey, let's get even. I know there's one commentator that I respect a lot, but he says in these verses, he thinks this is for the future kingdom. This is not for right now, because there's no way God could expect us to live like that. That's the only preacher I've ever heard say that. And they're trying to justify in themselves, hey, it's okay not to do this. When I see in the scriptures here, though, is that he's referring to publicans. He's referring to that day and time and that moment. He's saying the publicans do the same. He's making the same illustration there. And it's something that I believe he desires for us to have a goal to do. Let's look here a few verses back in Matthew chapter number 5. Look at verses 10 through 12. Matthew 5 verse 10, it says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." If you're doing what's right and you're persecuted for it, how are you supposed to respond? It says that you're blessed. Verse number 11, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And they're saying these things, so what are you supposed to do? It says in verse number 12, rejoice. Does it say, go get even? Does it say, do something to clear up your name? It says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Instead of attacking others, we should do what God has commanded us to do by the Lord to do it. We should practice forgiveness. And when he says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, that's what he wants us to do. How do you do it? I don't know. The Holy Spirit's going to do that in you. I know he likes to do that in me. It doesn't always work because it's a tough thing. But you see where Samson's sin has taken him. Little by little, it's dragged him to this point that it's brought him to this spot where he's so self-centered that all he does is wants to get even over and over. Look into your own heart. Look into your life. Ask yourself some questions. Do you have some type of bitterness in your heart that's wanting you to get even? What has the Lord said to you today about being forgiving and kind to maybe a family member, church member, a neighbor, or a friend? Are there some things in our life that we need to let go? Do we need to repent of seeking to harm others by our actions and our words? Do we need to turn away from vengeance? I know that God wrote this text and this story on purpose for a reason. And I think one of the reasons we see is because he knows that we're going to struggle with this. We're going to want to get even. We're going to want to do what we think is right. And the funny thing is, Samson in his mind said, it's okay for me to do a little bit of this because everybody else said it's wrong. And what most Christians realize and what most Christians say, and I've heard and talked to them, and it says, they did all this stuff wrong. That's why I can do this little bit. It's okay. It's okay for me to say this. It's okay for me to do this portion. And that's how Samson justified in himself. I want to encourage you tonight, make sure you understand getting even will not help you. Getting revenge does not pay off. One last illustration is for all you car racing fans in the room. I know that some of you in the past have been car racing fans. So it said that one day Richard Petty had not won a race for 45 races. He ended up winning the race and got the biggest prize back in 1979 at $73,500. The surprise is the fact that going into the last lap, he was in third place. He was running a half a lap in 30 seconds behind the two leaders. The first place driver got bumped by the second place driver, and it caused the person to go in the grass. He got up and caught up to the driver, and they ended up in the middle and got back on the track. He caught up with the other driver. He forced him to the outside walls. Both vehicles came to a screeching halt. The two drivers actually jump out of the cars and quickly get into a fight. They start punching each other. In the meantime, third place, Richard Petty, goes right around them, and he wins the race. So what is the moral of the story? Getting even is not going to help you. It's actually going to not only hurt you, it's going to hurt the people you're trying to get even to. They say that bitterness is the only thing that's like killing yourself. It's hurting you, but it's not hurting the people you're trying to hurt. Be careful. Getting even does not pay. Getting revenge, does it really help? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.